Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Chaz and AJ.
Yeah, I want to talk to Charlie Faze because I've been listening to him for a long, long time.
In a rower.
First time caller.
Right. Hold on. Let me get him.
Yeah, hang on.
Charlie Faze.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Monday, not party night. Do it, girls.
Are you calling in with a story?
My name's Cowboy Cal. I've been listening to him since I was his age.
Wow. You sound like a cowboy.
Yep. Cowboy Cal.
Yeah. That's nice. Cool.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, no. I love him when he was on Camp Chaos.
Oh, wow. 1990 to 1994.
Did you ever actually talk to him?
No, never have.
Wow, that's funny.
I've been listening forever.
Wow. So you have no idea what his voice sounds like for real, right? When he's talking to you on the phone?
Been listening to him forever.
Wow. Have you been listening for like a couple
I love Camp Chaos with.
Been listening for the last couple seconds?
Uncle Don.
Have you been partying today?
I loved his crap back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of crap.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're getting some calls on the subject that's been a little slow, so I'm going to move on here.
And everyone said I should have been a DJ.
Really?
Because of my voice.
You have a good voice.
You do have a good voice, yes.
I go to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting in Farmington.
All right.
Cowboy Cal in the air.
Do you have a cowboy hat?
I'm in Connecticut.
How'd you get the cowboy name?
Yeah.
Cowboy Cal.
Yeah, how'd you get that name?
Okay.
I'll tell you what, I love that guy.
Who, Cowboy Cal or Charlie Faze?
I loved him with AJ. I think AJ was Uncle Don.
No.
Yeah, no.
Different people.
Yep.
Oh, who is Uncle Don?
Uncle Don.
That's a long story for another time.
Right.
I have a phone subject that's just about to start now. Yeah. Calls are coming in. Right. And, my Monday is just starting.
When Governor Weicker was our governor.
You don't really need me for this conversation. I feel like if I hang up, you'll be just fine.
Were you let out of prison recently?
I'll tell you what.
What?
I laughed my freaking ass off at his bits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that Charlie Faze is amazing, isn't he?
Funny guy.
And that idiot AJ is with, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
one of these days, you should actually call them and talk to them.
Hold on.
You should talk to them one day. So,
that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Hey, Cowboy, hold on. I'm going to get Chaz for you, okay?
Yeah, don't move.
I'm going to
find
Charlie Faze.
Don't move.
Hold on.
Thanks, brother.
Right. If you're in the middle of the rubber, don't move.
Yeah. Nicole and Trumbull.
Nicole? Did Cowboy Cal scare you away?
Hey.
Oh. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Okay. So, I used to follow the band Mo.
Mo. Hey, Mo. Yeah.
Do you know Mo?
No.
Yes. No Mo.
No.
No Mo, no Mo.
I don't know Mo.
No Mo.
So,
no
Mo. They're an excellent, like, jam band.
Are they slow?
And they were playing at D.C. Are you there?
Yes, we're listening. D.C. Mo.
And right. Yeah, and a bunch of us drove down, carloads, and we rented a hotel, and we'd go to the concert, and I was drinking, and I had an open tab, and one of my friends showed up that I didn't expect to show up, so I got really excited.
Yeah.
And I ran, I jumped on him, I gave him a big hug, and then I went to go close out my tab at the bar, and the bartender says to me, "You don't have a tab." I said, "Yeah, I do." And she said, "No, you don't." She got really nasty. And
okay.
Hey, I don't have a tab. Said, thank you.
I'm looking at my
Here's
card.
A tip.
I'm looking at my card right there. And she wouldn't give it back.
Oh.
And next thing I knew, I got picked up by two huge bouncers and carried and placed outside the venue.
They couldn't take no more.
And
I have a feeling you're leaving some stuff out, but yeah. All right.
We need a little more of your story.
You're just an innocent bystander who's just greeting a friend.
Right, jumping on top of them with a credit card.
It was, you know, so I missed the entire show, and I got really upset, and I begged to go back in, and they wouldn't let me back in, and the bouncers were really, like, you know, the big old school biker kind
of
bouncers.
So you got thrown out.
right. BQ's beers, leather vest.
So to get the gomo.
I pulled.
All right.
I
so
pulled his beard
okay. Now we're getting somewhere.
That's not a good way to warm
yeah,
something.
There you go.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
That is a big. That's it. That's my story.
All right. You're in the running.
I love you guys listening every
love you
morning.
Too.
Hey, thank you. Right back at
and you.
You
told
appreciate
it well,
you.
Too. Yes.
All right. I thought so.
Yeah.
So she's in the running for Steve Miller tickets. Cowboy
hey, Chaz,
Cal.
You there?
Yeah, it's me.
Yeah.
It's Charlie Faze.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I've been with you guys forever.
Thank you.
Since, I was up in Litchfield County.
In the jail?
Listen to you forever.
Nice.
And
awesome.
There
Thank
was
you.
Another radio station up there, too.
There
and I love you guys to death.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for choosing us.
Yeah. No, I you know, I listen to you faithfully every day.
Thank you.
Thank you,
no
Cowboy Cal.
Radio station. I used to listen to Smith and Barber, the radio show.
Oh, yeah. There. So you've been a fan of the station for a long time, so we appreciate that.
And I also listened to 90, what was the one up
yeah,
there?
Yeah, hold on.
Don't move.
No one cares about that one, Cal. No one cares.
There's like a tiny station up there somewhere.
Hold on. Trucker Kevin.
Good morning.
Please have a good story. or have it be so bad.
I had gone to see Rossington Collins years ago, and I had an extra ticket. And so the next show came up, Charlie Daniels at the Coliseum.
Nice.
And I went down and I walked in, I gave the guy the ticket, and I just about to go through the double doors to the arena, and the policeman put his hand on my shoulder. I looked up and out I went. So I didn't stay too long at that concert.
Did I miss something?
Why were you chucked out?
What's that?
Why were you thrown out?
Yeah, you seemed to be doing all the right things.
Because I gave him the wrong ticket.
Oh.
I gave him a ticket to a different concert.
Okay, so you weren't going to see Charlie
Daniels. I had an extra ticket from a different concert, so I walked into the other show,
right.
And I handed him the ticket, and I thought I was doing good. I got to the double door, and the policeman put his hand on my shoulder, and out I went.
Honest mistake.
Okay.
They didn't give you a chance to say, like, what, do you have the right ticket?
No, I was just leaving.
Right.
Hey, so let's go. So, you know.
And you complied.
Can I tell you, look, I appreciate everyone calling in and someone's going to win those Steve Miller tickets, but man, you people could not have put in less effort in making up a story of
right.
being thrown out.
Embellish.
Cowboy Cal?
Yeah, I'm still here.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Oh, man.
Right, we're
going
to go. I just wanted.
Guys.
Hey, I love you, too. Just wanted to thank you for all the years of listening. Appreciate you calling in.
And calling again.
Can I talk to Chaz? I wish he would come back on the nighttime with Camp Chaos.
That would not be a good thing for Chaz.
You work with chemicals.
Chaz wouldn't like that.
No, Chaz likes being mornings.
Oh.
That would affect Chaz's salary and lifestyle. Immensely.
I used to listen to him forever at night. It was the best show he ever did.
I mean,
even the morning show is good, but
thank you.
He was more radical back then.
I think Chaz would be put in jail for that stuff now.
Yeah, seriously. Right. And it's important.
Chaz likes not being in jail.
Right. Neither does AJ.
Hey,
Chaz doesn't like showering with men.
What?
Not even a camp.
All right. Thank you, Cal. Farmer Jim Smith. From Cushman Farms in Franklin, Connecticut, is on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank
Good.
You.
Thank you for what Good. You do to keep us fed.
Seriously.
Thanks. We enjoy what we do.
It's not easy.
No. And they bring up the drought. That doesn't make it any easier. It just adds another challenge to the to what we do.
How's that affecting you guys right now?
So right now we're having to haul water. Our wells, some of our wells are drying up, so we're hauling in 3 tanker loads of water a day.
What does that cost?
Actually, the cost of the water is pretty cheap, but it runs pretty close to $300 a load. But by the time you run the truck down there, load it, come back, pay the employee. That's the real cost of the hauling water.
Oh, wow. But when you're talking like $900,000 a day just for the product, just for something that normally you get for free.
Yep.
That adds up.
Yeah.
Adds up.
Yeah. 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 Right. And then of course, you look on the crop side, and of course, we've got pretty heavy land where we are, so crops are faring okay. The corn is just starting to curl a little bit. But as you go southeast towards the ocean here, you know, the soils get lighter. That corn's going to be hurting some. And if we get rain here pretty soon, it'll help it. But, you know, if we don't get enough rain when it starts to develop ears and that kind of stuff, that's where it really costs us.
And we're supposed to get rain today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess on the more on the western side of the state. On the eastern side, I think it's supposed to be a little bit lighter. But we'll hopefully they're wrong, and we'll get some water, and that'll help a lot. Yeah. And, of course, what happens then is, you know, we end up having to purchase more feeds, which is another expense to us. And with the economy the way it is, that's real costly right now.
So you use your corn to feed your cows?
Correct, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yes. Yeah, we grow about 1,700 acres of corn here.
Well, wait, I'm sorry.
Whoa!
1,700 acres.
Did you say 1,700 acres?
Correct.
It's a lot of ears.
That's just corn.
Yeah.
That's just corn.
Right. You call it maize.
That's just corn. Yeah. There's another about 1,100 acres of hay that we harvest four times a year.
1,100 acres of hay.
A lot of work.
Yeah.
1,700, wow. 1,100. How many acres do you have total?
So total production of for forages that we harvest, and some of this land is rented. We own about 2,200 acres, and some of that, of course, is forest land. But it's we harvest, you know, we cover about a little over 3,000 acres of land a year.
Wow. 3,000 acres. What is that the size of? Is there anything that's 3,000 acres in Connecticut?
Not my house.
Like, there's no town that's 3,000 acres, right?
I have no idea.
Which is the biggest town in Connecticut? I think Shelton.
Just by landmass? I don't know.
Landmass.
Yeah, I don't know. I know where we are in Lebanon here, Lebanon, Franklin area. Lebanon's probably one of the larger towns in Connecticut. It's 55 square miles.
Oh, wow. That's pretty big.
So, yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of grass to cut.
Oh, man. How many people do you have working this 2,200 acre farm?
Three people.
We employ 36 people, 36 full-time people. And apparently, you know, of course, right now one of them is full time hauling water. So
right.
There's an opportunity cost there,
right?
You know, where that, you know, that guy could be doing something a little more productive if possible.
Where is he getting the water from? Is he like going to like a river and sucking it up, or?
No, we actually pull it right out of. there's a hydrant right out of the public water source.
Oh, okay.
That we pump from. Yeah, so the same place where a lot of the pool water comes from.
Do you get charged for that?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Which would you rather have? Would you rather have this, where we're in a drought, or I think it was last year or the year before we had so much rain, it was ridiculous.
Monsoon, yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I say, where we are, you know, we can handle a drought a lot better than some areas, but, the old saying is a drought will hurt you, but, a monsoon will kill you, so.
That's a good saying.
Wet weather, really is a lot worse for crops than drier weather, for sure.
You're a dairy farm, and so it's all about keeping the cows fed. So what you grow on the farm is to feed the cows?
Yes, correct.
Gotcha.
Keep the milk flowing, yes.
So you're pretty much, self-sustained, right? You're not buying stuff to feed the cows.
Oh no, we are. We buy probably about 40% of our inputs for the cows. Yeah,
what, like the grain,
right? They're like steak.
Yeah, correct. Right, and a lot of that comes from out west. And what's nice about cows is they correct a lot of our human waste, such as brewer's grains, and after they make cereal, what's left over out of the corn and so forth and stuff like that, and they keep a lot of stuff out of our landfill.
Nice. So.
How many cows do you have?
So we have about 1,800 altogether.
Woo!
Wow.
That's a lot of teats.
So you probably, when you have that many cows, you don't even know exactly how many you have. There's just so many.
No, we know exactly. I mean, we have records on our cows, just like, you know, doctors have records on humans. And
you
so
do a
forth.
Head count in the morning?
Well, so that's got to be...
I call your name, you say moo. Elsie!
Yeah, right, yeah.
We're talking to farmer Jim Smith from Cushman Farms in Franklin, Connecticut about this drought situation. What does it cost for electricity? Because you have to... You have machines that milk all these cows. You're not doing this by hand.
Yes, correct.
Get blisters. Yeah.
All right. What's your electric bill every month?
So our electric bill, especially in the summertime, because we run so many fans to keep them cool, it runs pretty close to $25,000 a month.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Holy crap.
My head would explode. So, open that envelope.
So when your electric when your electric costs go up and the cost for grain goes up, and all this, the price of a gallon of milk goes up.
Well, we'd hope so, but that's not always necessarily true. So we don't control our costs. It's based on a formulation that the government controls. And therefore, so, yeah, when our costs go up, we just have to continue to find ways to absorb that, which becomes a difficult situation.
Yeah. Oh, so you can't just raise the price?
No, we don't. We have no control over our price, no.
That's wild.
Seriously.
Dairy farming becomes a very challenging business that way.
Now, why is it they would control that, but not like gas or something else that the country needs?
Because we also get a lot of government subsidies to control the prices. If we had our true cost of milk without those, it'd be very, very expensive in the store.
What do you think it would be? What is a gallon of milk now?
I have no idea.
I don't even buy milk anymore. I have no idea.
It's not my department.
Yeah. Right, yeah, no.
In the house. Right.
I mean, we enjoy milk very, very much.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Can't have cereal without milk.
Yeah. Right, but...
White Russian.
Your wife probably does the shopping, so...
Yeah.
Of course, we drink milk from the farm,
So you don't know what it costs.
You got fresh milk all the time.
Do you drink it fresh or do you drink it pasteurized? Which do you prefer?
No, we drink it fresh.
Nice.
We drink it fresh. Yeah.
For 2% milk, the price per gallon is $4.36.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that national or just Connecticut?
You don't want 1%. That's like water.
I know.
That seems like a great price when you think about, like, I'm listening to all the acres and everything you have to grow, and then they have to, take the corn and
only
process that.
Only certain cows even.
Feed them. And electric is $25,000.
All the milking. Yep.
Yeah, no, that seems great.
Yeah.
And then let's not even talk about vet bills.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and of course, we do a lot of our own vet work here.
Really? That makes sense. So, yeah, because you're too big.
So when Elsie's got blocked, you got to reach in.
have you done that? Have you stuck your arm up a cow's butt?
Oh.
I have calved many cows out, yes.
Oh.
Calved many cows out.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to lose watch?
No, never done
City
that.
City slickers. Okay.
Have you ever...
had a ring.
Take
the bracelet off first.
Wow. So you stick your arm in there to pull the calf out?
I would say it's probably 98% of cows all calve on their own.
Yeah. There's a one stickler every now and then.
Right, the 2%. Yeah.
What are you grabbing? A leg, a head? What are you doing?
Anything. You can't see.
Is that where 2% milk comes from?
The 2%? I heard that.
And then you wash your arm immediately. Yes.
Unfortunately, the ones you have to assist usually are the ones that are either twisted up or... So, yeah, a lot of times it's whatever you can get a hold of.
Oh, that poor cow's like, river.
Yeah.
Sideways cow coming out.
Do you have to give them enemas or do you have to go up there for any other reason?
Sounds a little Richard.
No. It's... basically, but more or less, we're just calving them out that way. And, basically, you're just aligning that calf to come the proper way is what we're trying to do.
Wow. That's skill.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't do that.
No, me neither.
I can pet them.
Yeah.
Are you just, like, done for the day after that? It's like, well,
yeah,
I deserve a break.
No, unfortunately, yes. No.
I know.
Now comes breakfast.
Yeah. <Wow. laughs>
I will not have eggs. Yeah.
So you have licensed vets on your payroll?
Not licensed vets, no. We are incorporated with a vet clinic, that we use. So we have vets that are outside the farm also. But, basically when you're dealing with that many animals and having 3 or 4 cows a day on the average, you have to be able to step in.
Just be prepared at all times.
The main thing is to keep those cows fed, right? Because if not, they'll get out.
Right.
They'll find a way out.
They will. They'll jump in a speeding car somewhere. Yep.
Yeah. No, and basically, how we get cows, how cows milk, or the more dry matter they eat, or the more food they eat, the more milk they produce. So, on an economic basis, it's very important to keep them fed.
Have you ever had a bunch of them get out?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Somebody forgets to shut a gate.
Next thing they're in bars.
Yeah, right.
Hanging out, seeing a band.
Yeah.
Get over here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow, that's wild.
But no, cows actually eat better than humans. You know, they balance their rations a lot closer. As far as vitamins, minerals, what they need, energy intake, and so forth.
Yep.
So what you give them the grain in the wintertime when they're not eating off the grass, right?
No. We feed them grain year round.
Really?
They get a total mix ration, and we add all these ingredients, put it in a big mixer, and that mixer goes down through the barn and feeds them.
Nice.
There's so much to this.
Really is.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, you guys come out to the farm. We could probably spend a half a day. I could show you around.
I love it.
Oh, wow.
I love it. Yeah. Is it weird? I just love the smell of a barn. You go in a barn, I just love it.
Right. During certain hours, yes.
I mean, I don't love it when some guy's got his arm up a cow's butt.
Yeah, no. Yeah, yeah. Right. I'll be outside having a cigarette.
No.
Whoa, sorry. I thought I was invited.
No, I grew up across the street from a farm.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And, he had a couple of dairy cows in there, probably about a dozen.
Yeah.
And he had that giant pasteurization machine.
Oh, wow.
And, we would drink the milk before it went in there. Yeah. Oh, so freaking good.
Yeah.
Why do we have to pasteurize milk? What happens if we don't?
Well, it's a health issue where there's bacteria and stuff in there that, especially if people are not used to it, it can be deadly.
Pasteurized.
Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah. I'll take pasteurized. Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Not good.
Yeah. We've had many requests to buy raw milk, and I just, I won't go down that path.
Nah.
It's
scary.
Yeah.
See, you're a good man.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for what you do.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I love this note on the card.
Uh-oh.
Please make sure it's clear that I, divorce attorney Katie K. Leonard, am not violating any privilege. Most of these cases are already public, or I had no privilege with the custody crazy.
That's a good note.
Good morning, divorce attorney Katie K. Leonard.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good, thank you. And you?
I am great. I'm just laughing to myself that this is what we're about to talk about.
Jetty Girl 28 on TikTok. It's a great account. People love it. 132,000 followers.
That's a lot of followers.
Jetty Girl 28. So we're going to talk about some of the, I don't want to say nutty, but some of the
obscure,
odd things that
unique.
You've dealt with as a divorce attorney.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you want to start?
Oh, gosh. Well, you can tell me which one jumped out at you the most.
Diaper baby.
That one kind of jumped out.
Oh, he is one of the craziest ones. So I mentioned on my TikTok that, because I see these videos all the time of these people that, they're talking about how the court is corrupt and the judges are corrupt. And so that's what prompted me to make the video about custody crazies, because I wanted people on TikTok to know when you hear these stories, just pause and think twice, because some of this stuff just doesn't add up. It's not how it goes in the courtroom. And if there's lawyers listening, then I know they know what I'm talking about. Because there are people that just get into court and they can't fathom the idea of losing. It's not about their kids. Sometimes it's about their money. They really just don't want to be seen as losing. So they take these approaches that are just nuclear in court. And Diaper Baby is one of them. And the reason why Diaper Baby is so frustrating is because he actually succeeded in winning the case, which is just dumbfounding if you knew this guy. But basically,
which side of this guy were you on? Were you sitting at his table?
We represented the wife.
Okay.
Oh.
Basically, this guy, if there's any divorce lawyers listening, they know that when civil litigation lawyers that are used to being really aggressive and just taking really aggressive positions get into family law, sometimes they nuke themselves because they don't know that in family law it's not really the way that we can litigate things. We kind of have to think high road. Sometimes we have to think long term, you know, what's the best way to, but they come in and they just, everything is just nuclear. So that's what he did. And he hired a lawyer that was willing for him to pay her to take those positions with him. So Diaper Baby was into this fetish called adult babies.
So Diaper Baby is not the baby.
No.
Diaper Baby is
the dude.
It's the husband.
Right, right.
The husband.
And he's on solids.
Yeah. That's the worst. It's not a diaper you want to change.
Yeah, no,
no.
No, thank you. No, no, no.
Yeah. So, and what's so funny about it is that he was a lawyer at this really prestigious firm in Atlanta, you know, hundreds of lawyers. And so he had so much to lose by all of this being public, and somehow that just didn't stop him. So he was into this fetish where he would act like a baby. He wanted to wear a diaper. Some of the testimony that came out in deposition was he liked to wear it out in public specifically and go to the bathroom in it and like squish around in Home Depot.
So he'd wear the diaper under his clothes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And
actually
he
use
would
it.
Like,
yeah.
Yes, and actually use it. And he liked, you know, pacifiers, and he liked to wear onesies, and he liked to pacifier. Go to the bathroom his diaper.
Do you have a tantrum in court?
And no, he would hold it together there, but I think that's obviously what prompted her to file for divorce, because he would throw tantrums until she would change him.
Oh.
He wanted the wife to change his diaper.
Dirty diaper or fake dirty?
Dirty diaper.
Yeah,
that's
no.
So such a fast divorce.
I know what I fed you today. I'm not doing that. Yep.
Is it Monday? Are we...
You ate nothing but French onion dip yesterday. There's no way.
Yes.
There's no way I'm going in there.
You ate spinach. No.
There's no way.
No.
No.
Sorry, no.
No.
Unless you're paralyzed.
Yeah. I'll hose you off.
I don't know how they made it as long as they did, because you think, how could you possibly tolerate that?
And how many years were they married?
They were married for at least 10.
No.
They had multiple children. So I'm not sure at what point in the marriage this fetish arose, but it obviously was problematic. At least two. I believe there were two. And they were young. They weren't like teenagers.
So both in diapers.
Yeah.
No, not that young.
but he didn't like changing them.
Yeah.
If he liked changing them, he probably would have had a baby every 2 years.
Yeah.
And probably would have had 10 kids.
Yep.
It's like, I love changing diapers.
Exactly.
I got a thing for
it.
That's
my thing. I don't know.
But he wanted to be changed.
Yep.
That is the most.
I'm not sure he liked to change them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, how could you possibly want to be intimate with somebody after that, you know?
Yeah, they're full of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that is tough.
So she obviously left.
Barwood.
And they engaged in, you know, what became a very contentious divorce case. Hundreds of thousands of dollars were spent. And
she was your client. Did she list this as the number one or only reason for the divorce, or were there multiple reasons?
She wanted to pamper him.
There were multiple reasons. I mean, he was definitely along the narcissistic line of, you know, the control, the power, you know, and sometimes it takes people a long time to leave in cases like that.
Because
they're
weird
constantly
control
told,
power, but wants diaper change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he's controlling
you.
You
can,
to
you
change
can think
his diaper.
About that.
That's interesting.
Well, no, I mean, think about it in a weird way. It's like, it's probably a turn on to him to not have to be in control. right? You get to step outside your normal self and not be.
I'm a baby.
Right.
I control nothing.
Are you on a poo-poo kiss?
Yeah,
I'm completely in need of help.
Too much coffee done. Who cares?
Wow. Right. That's wild.
Yep.
Man, there is a wire, like just there's a couple of
multiple
completely
wires.
Not attached
circuits.
Few synapses not firing properly. Yep.
Okay. I'm not here, the judge.
No, but, of course not. No.
All right, so you get the case, and then when do you realize in this case, like, oh, he's going there?
Someone cribs.
Well, you know, women like this in this situation, they usually know and tell us in advance, this is going to be bad. You know, I've had several clients, I've listed others in my notes. They come in early, and they're like, look, this is what I'm dealing with. I need to prepare. I need to get all my ducks in a row. And so that's what happened. And so what we did in that case was we asked for, I don't know what y'all call it there, but we have these things called a psychological custody evaluation, and it's done by a psychologist.
Yeah.
And so you have to ask for it, or the parties have to agree. And it was ordered by the court in this case. So both parties had to participate. So everybody got a battery of psychological tests, personality tests, you know, substance tests, personality, all different kinds of battery. And sometimes the children are tested. I don't think they were here. And then the psychologist will do interviews, and they'll talk to collateral witnesses, and they'll come back and they'll say, okay, based on everything I've looked at, including the testing, here's a possible diagnosis we're dealing with. And this is what I think the custody arrangement should be.
How did he come out in this test?
He definitely had the narcissistic, you know, elevations on his scales. And I'm not going to say what his diagnoses were, but whatever.
Okay, let me ask you this. Know. I'll ask it this way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When you saw the test results, you're like, yes, damn it. How did he do that?
He dropped the boom,
right,
yep.
Right, because the psychologist recommended supervised visitation for him. So
there you go.
Happen,
winner.
Yep. Based on... Right. So if that's going to happen based on
that, means the psychologist said
testing,
these kids should not be alone with this guy.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Wowie. Okay.
So, seriously.
So winner.
The case went on for a little while. And so what happened in the time the case was going on is that the judges transitioned. The judge that was assigned to the case had been there, a family court judge in the city of Atlanta for a long time. She retired. And they brought in somebody who had just been elected, who had previously served as a juvenile judge and was removed for misconduct. She somehow got elected as the judge.
Oops.
And she came and rained terror on us for 4 years on that bench. And this was one of her first cases.
Wow.
So she was known as being a very pro-dad judge. What else was really important is that you may notice with juvenile court judges, they see so much crap. They see, you know, cigarette burns and sexual abuse and, you know, horrible things. So when they come to divorce court, it's hard to kind of make any,
the
you know what I mean?
Thing is nothing.
She was like, whatever.
She brought
at least
snacks.
The kids are safe.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
So she gives dad 50-50 custody.
Ouch.
And
mistake.
Then dad starts coming after the lawyers, which was our firm. And he sued the wife for attorney's fees. She had to pay him over $100,000 in attorney's fees. Then he sued our firm for additional money.
But
we had to hire lawyers.
Now, but those suits are not in family court, right? Those suits are heard by other judges.
They would have been superior court.
Hmm.
So not family.
Yeah.
It's a complicated question because of how the city of Atlanta is orchestrated,
but...
But
it wasn't that one judge who was just ruling against you on every issue.
Yeah, but he's wearing diapers, put in a trust fund.
you
can't have 18 years.
If I'm a judge and I walk in and I see, like, there's a dude sitting there in diapers, I'm like, whoever that is over there, they won.
Exactly.
The person not in a diaper wins.
Right. You get
next case.
You get animal crackers. Get out of here.
Wow. That is wild.
I award custody to the adult. And not the child.
Who's been a bad boy? Who's been a bad baby?
Who's got a stinky diaper?
Who made a boom boom?
All right, we are ready for you.
Okay, I hope I can deliver. But so my husband is a superior court judge, and so he hears divorce cases, and so he came and told me this one, and still to this day I have not seen anything top this. So there's a man and a woman. the woman is Caucasian and the man is Middle Eastern, Persian. And they date, and he, you know, he realizes at some point, okay, you know, this chick, she's a little crazy. So I'm going to end things, and I'm going to go back to the Middle East and live with my family. So he does that. He ends things. He flies back home. He's hanging out back at home, and he starts getting text messages from her. And it's pictures of, like, an ultrasound and a pregnant belly. And he's like, oh, no, I've gotten her pregnant. I've, you know, I've gotten this crazy girl pregnant. So he tells his family about it, and the family is like, hey, you know, that's your child. You need to do what's right. You need to go back over there and marry her and raise your child. So he does that reluctantly. He goes back to the United States. They're in Georgia, and he marries her. And they stayed married for a long time. So the child is grown. He's raised this child, was there for the birth, raised him, you know, all the way through childhood. Now the child is, you know, 18, 19, 20, something like that. So he decides now it's time to pull the trigger. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, file for divorce. So the husband is a contractor, and he's, you know, working construction, and he has some employees that are Latin American, Central American. And he brings his son to work one day. He's kind of training them up in the family business. So the son comes to work, and he's introducing him around, and he's like, you know, everybody, this is my son, you know. So a couple of guys, the workers, pull him aside, and they're like, you know, hey, man, I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I don't want to intervene, but I got to tell you, like, we're Central American. That kid is Central American. That kid is not Persian. He has Central American features. And so it kind of makes the husband a little suspicious. He must have trusted the guys or whatever. So he decides he's gonna secretly do a DNA test. So he tells his son, hey, we've got this relative back in the Middle East who needs a organ donation or blood donation, something like that. And we need to do a test to see if we're a match. So he and the son go, and they have a DNA test. And the results come to his email. And it says, no chance, no way, no chance that you're the father of this child.
Oops.
So he's like, you know, so he's devastated, but this is his kid. He's going to keep raising the kid. He's already an adult. And so he just kind of puts that aside and doesn't say anything to the wife, but, you know, they're already getting a divorce. But bizarrely, a couple of days later, results come in the mail. And the results from the mail say 99.9%, this is your child. You are the father. And he's like, what? How is that possible? So he calls the lab and he says, hey, I got these results by email that said I'm not the father. Then I got some in the hard mail, the U.S. mail, that says I am the father. So which is it? And they said, no, we don't mail out results.
No.
You definitely got them. The ones you got by email are correct. You're not the father of the child. So he immediately realizes, okay, she must have read my email and was, or maybe she got, somehow she knew the results were coming. And so she manipulated them and sent different results in the mail.
Wow, nuts.
So he's like, okay, you know, but already they're getting divorced, so he doesn't really think anything of it. But he decides then to test a different way. So he goes to mom's hairbrush when she's not home, and he pulls some hair out of her hairbrush, and he sends it off to the lab. Those results come back, and it says she's not the mother of the child.
Whoops.
So neither one of these people are the biological parents of this child that she, remember, she had sent him pictures of a pregnant belly.
Yeah, not hers.
Right, not hers. She was never pregnant. So he's like, hold on. So fast forward, they're in divorce court. She's on the witness stand. And the lawyer that's representing the husband is cross-examining this woman. Where did you get this child from? Where did you get this child from? Is it your child? And she's sitting up there pleading the fifth, which means, you know, I'm not going to possibly say anything that will incriminate me of crime. So my husband, who's the judge, is looking at her lawyer. And if you know how the Fifth Amendment works, you know, you in a civil case, you can plead the Fifth Amendment, but the judge is allowed to draw an inference that says, well, I'm going to assume that that answer is bad for you if you're pleading the Fifth. And so my husband is like, I don't know what inference I'm supposed to draw based on this, but it's not a good one. So she never would admit what happened to this kid, where they got this baby from.
Wow.
So we're left with nothing but speculation. But I think the growing theory is that, my theory is that she paid somebody who was an undocumented worker or, you know, or just offered to give this child a life and took the baby from someone else. My husband thinks she kidnapped a baby out of a hospital. So who knows? But wow. I've never, ever heard a case like that where nobody knew where the baby came from and we can never figure out where the baby came from. Wow. So that was by far, I haven't heard one that bad.
I am blown away.
That's a movie.
That is a movie.
Yep.
Wow.
It is.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, that lived up to all of its expectations.
Yes, it did.
Tell your husband thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Wow. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me. Everybody has a good week.
Oh, yeah. You too. We're linked up to all your stuff, your firm, and your TikTok account at JettyGirl28 on the radio station website. Have a great day. Adam Carolla, comedian, actor, podcaster, radio personality on the show. Good morning. Oh, well, you're always welcome here.
Yeah, of course.
Well, you know, I've been a big fan since Loveline, Man Show, podcasts, radio show, the whole thing.
Oh, well, I'm good. I'm glad we can continue our relationship.
See?
It's always good to have you here.
My God, you never call.
So this book is called Everything Reminds Me of Something, Advice, Answers, But No Apologies. What kind of lessons and or advice are we going to get from the book?
Well, the book is made up of half of folks just asking questions and other half is like celebrity friends asking questions. And they are all free to choose their own questions. And so they cover a cacophony of different subjects. And it was kind of fun for me to form my own thoughts because I hadn't heard the questions before I heard the questions. So I would have someone read me the questions and then I would kind of think like where do I want to go with this. So it's kind of an improv book, but I just got done reading the audio book, which always is my chance to go back and read the book after I've written it.
Yeah.
And it's funny. It's good. It's got a lot of good advice and info in it, so I think your audience will enjoy it.
Well, you do this in your stand-up, right? Someone will mention a word, and then you have to do this whole deal on whatever the word is.
Yeah, I'll do a bit called Unprepared, where before the show, people will write one word down on a ping pong ball, and then we'll put it up in a hopper, and then someone will come up and pull them randomly, whatever it says on the ball. I'll do a stand-up bit about. So it is a kind of a free association thing, and I definitely have a lot of experience in it. I've just never written a book this way.
We're going to play something from one of those segments on stage, but we'll do it after you're off because we have limited time with you.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can actually play it on the radio. We'll
I did
out.
Have to edit some of it, yes.
What word was it?
Missionary. So somebody would ask you a question, and then you would just go off on the advice, and that's the advice we have in here. So this is an advice that you had time to think out.
Right.
Well, no, I would, because I would have someone ask me a question, and I'd think, I don't know, like I've never thought about that. And then I would kind of drill down on it, and I would think, well, what are my thoughts about this? And then I would stumble into something that was funny, interesting, or both. But every once in a while, I'd get a question, and I'd just go, I have no thoughts about that, and I would just throw it out because I didn't want to sit and burn calories trying to come up with something that wasn't stellar. But most of the stuff just made me go in a direction and think about things I'd never thought about before.
Like, you have an example?
There's an example in there, which is how come in this day and age of of men and women being on an equal playing field. How come you don't see men riding behind women on motorcycles? How come there's not an equal number of women riding a motorcycle with a male?
Right, no dudes running bitch. Yes.
Yeah. That's a great question.
Right, right, right. We'd be bastards, actually. We'd be just bastards.
And you know what the answer that I came up with was? Because the modern men and the modern couples are so scared of everything that a modern guy with would-be bracelets wouldn't have a motorcycle. It's too dangerous. She wouldn't have a motorcycle either. They're too safety-oriented. They're like double maskers during COVID, you know. So the only people you see on motorcycles are like traditional people. That's why in a world where it's 50-50 with male and female, you never see a female riding around with a male on the back because they're scared.
Oh,
that is really interesting.
Huh.
Maybe one of those Vespas, it's a little different,
right?
Maybe.
Or the bicycle different too.
And do you talk about cars in your book? You're a big car guy.
I hope so.
Yeah, there's cars, there's comedy, there's relationships, there's everything in there. And yeah, I am a car guy, but maybe not traditional. I have a bunch of old Paul Newman race cars.
Nice.
Not exactly
Paul
like
Newman
American
from Connecticut.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah,
Volvo?
Lime Rock's his home track.
Where is it? It's Wayne at Mazda of Milford.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
The Volvo that he had the special Volvo made.
There's one there, and the only other one that
Letterman
exists is
one.
Letterman. That's it. Those are the two.
This team, yeah, there may even be three. Bob Sharp was in Danbury, Connecticut, and Bob Sharp had the Datsun dealer, and it was Newman Sharp.
Yeah.
So they were out of Danbury, and Bob was in Connecticut, and Lime Rock's the home track. So there's a lot of regional connections.
We have one of his racing suits at home.
You do?
Paul
yes,
Newman.
You do.
Yeah.
Wow. You have Newman's. Which one is it?
I'm sure that we've got all that information, but it was one of those auction items that just wound up coming home with us.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long ago did you get it?
I didn't get it. My wife was one of the campers at his hole-in-the-wall camp, and it was sort of like one of those things that didn't go for the amount that they were hoping, so he just kind of, I think, bought it and then gifted it to someone, and it wound up in their family. And it's one of those things that they've held on to for a very long time.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably worth something now.
What do you think that would be worth, Adam?
Well, I have no idea because he has racing suits that he wore one time for one event, and then he has racing suits that he wore for 4 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, four seasons, you know, that have a lot more DNA.
You could actually make a Paul Newman.
That's where the value comes in.
If you want DNA, then because Wayne's got one of the Volvo wagons, Wayne Carini, and in the back he's got the he's got a pair of his shorts and tennis sneakers.
Ooh, pair of his shorts.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, I almost bought that wagon from Wayne.
Oh, did you?
Some years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think his partner wanted to sell it.
Yeah.
We got to let you go for your next deal here, but it's always great to have you on, Adam Carolla. Comedian, actor, podcaster, radio personality, and best-selling author.
Yes.
We're linked up to the book on the radio station website. Thank you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.